If you will recall from the Freeway Guide to Public Speaking, the third component of the voice equation was body language. As a speaker, you need to realize the full impact your body language has on the listener, and you really want to work to use your body to support your message. Remember Albert Mehrabian's findings that 55% of the meaning people receive comes from your body language. So in some sense, your body is your main tool in sending a powerful message. Since there really is so much to share about body language, this free tip has been divided into two parts. This is Body Language Part 1. This free tip is going to cover what I feel are some of the most fundamental tips to building better body language. Let's get started. Tip: ask for feedback about your body. Many times when we speak, we ask for generic feedback. So, how did I look? Did I sound nervous? This is all well and good, but I'm going to ask you to remember to get specific feedback about your body. The hardest body to see on the planet is your own. So we need to rely on others to tell us what our body looked like to them when we were speaking. This feedback is crucial to building better body language. Here are a few feedback questions you can ask. Did I look confident? Did I fidget? Did I do anything physically that detracted from my message? When I was speaking, how did my body look to you? Did my body language support the message that I was sending? Let me make a quick disclaimer. The discussion of body language is very subjective and can be made even more complex by variations in culture, in race, and in gender. Now, this is something that you may need to consider as you get to KYA, know your audience. Again, body language is very complex, but remember the first tip: ask for feedback about your body. Tip: make certain your smile matches the message. It is important to remember that when you're speaking, you're really trying to send a message. A fun message, an exciting message, a serious message, a casual message, a business message. When your words and your body language do not match, you are going to send a confused message to your listener. Think about this situation. What happens if I'm trying to send a serious message and I have a big smile on my face? So imagine this. You're trying to tell somebody that you're really sorry about their loss, but you have a big smile on your face. The truth is, if you're smiling, they're not going to believe that you're serious. This happens all the time. Our real intention is masked by the smile sitting on our face. Now, what happens if you experience the opposite? If, say, you see a person and they say that they're really excited to meet you, but they have absolutely no expression on their face? Same thing. You're really not going to trust what it is that they're saying. 55% of what we communicate comes from our body. When your body language and your words do not match, then it sends a confusing message to the receiver. It is essential that you work hard to be congruent. Sometimes you need to smile, and sometimes you need to put your teeth away and get serious. Tip: practice making eye contact. Look everyone in the eye. Eye contact is key to making human connection. Other speaking trainings that I've gone to, well, they've had me do things like look at people's foreheads, or look at them between the eyes, or stare at something in the back of the room. I totally disagree with this sort of avoidance. It's not fooling anybody. You may feel uncomfortable looking people in the eye, but learn to do it anyway. Remember what we said in the Freeway Guide to Public Speaking? Great speakers, they feel the fear, but they do it anyway. Eye contact creates a connection. Even more so, it allows you to be able to read your audience. It's essential that you practice making eye contact. Another tip to remember: that when you're speaking, it's important for you to try to look at everyone in the room at least once. Better yet, look at everyone in the room twice. Do not exclude people. Look at everyone. We've all seen the person who will only look at two people in a full room of 15 or 20 people. It really looks so unnatural, and it doesn't feel good to the other 18 people who are being avoided or ignored by the speaker. Another pitfall that I find is that sometimes speakers will look at the ground. When your eyes are looking at the floor, all your energy is being directed in that direction and not towards your audience. Now, it's hard for the audience to connect with a speaker who's more interested in everyone's shoes than really in them. Don't ignore your audience. Look at them. This is the conclusion of body language part one. So remember, your body is saying more than you think it is. Welcome to Body Language Part 2. The next several tips continue to discuss how to effectively use your body when speaking. Listen carefully as we talk about using your hands and avoiding predictable physical patterns. Remember, your body is the best tool you have to reinforce your message. Don't forget to use it. Tip: use your hands, don't let them use you. Remember, your hands are a tool that should reinforce your message, not distract from it. Many people fidget with or overuse their hands when they get nervous. If you speak with your hands too much, and you know who you are, you need to start using your hands and not let your hands use you. Here's a great but difficult exercise. When you're practicing for your presentation, what I want you to do is to not use your hands at all. That's right, put them right down by your side. Don't put them in front of you, don't put them behind you, put them right by your side. I want you to try and struggle not to use them at all. This will be hard, but I want you to try it. I want you to feel what it feels like to speak with absolutely no movement. And I want you to think about what hand motions you can use to support your point, not detract from your points when you're speaking. The thing about using your hands is that you need to think about it, not just do what feels natural. Because for those of you who speak with your hands, it may feel natural, but too much movement will distract from your message. Now, if you have the opposite problem and you don't use your hands enough, I want you to do the same exercise. I want you to practice not using your hands at all. And I want you to then think about where you could add some hand movement in order to emphasize your point. You do not need to add too many movements. Just practice adding a few. A little hand movement goes a long way. Use your hands, don't let them use you. Tip: avoid predictable physical patterns. This tip goes out to all the pacers in the world. There is nothing more distracting than a speaker who paces, walking back and forth from one side to the other. If you are a pacer, I want to invite you to feel your feet on the ground and stop moving. This is a great technique to remind you to stop pacing. As a speaker, you want to avoid creating any kind of what I call predictable physical patterns. Now stay with me here. In our example of the pacer, the audience becomes more involved in the predictable physical pattern of the person walking left and then right than what the speaker is actually saying. Your body language and how you move should seem almost organic, even if it isn't. It may be strategically thought out and very intentional, but to the audience, it should look natural. The idea of avoiding predictable physical patterns applies to every part of your body. Let's say, making eye contact. As a member of the audience, I should not be able to predict who you're going to look at next. How about with your hands? I should not be able to predict what hand motion is going to come next. Predictable physical patterns are a result of nervous behavior. Tapping a pencil on the table, shaking your leg, swaying back and forth. Predictable physical patterns detract from your message. Work hard to avoid them. It is my hope that I've inspired you to really think about using your body when you speak. It is your biggest tool that you have working for you or against you. Good luck and get to speaking. Sometimes when giving presentations, you will be faced with participants whose behavior makes your job even harder than it needs to be. An important thing to remember about dealing with difficult participants is that it is crucial to correct the behavior while protecting the participant's ego. If you put one participant on the spot in front of the group, or if you're too confrontational with them, you may actually damage the rapport you have with the rest of the group. So remember, the goal is to correct the behavior and protect the person's ego at the same time. Let's deal with two difficult behaviors. The overly talkative participant. Often, people who participate or talk too much do not feel like they're being heard by you or the group. This keeps them from being effective participants, so here's what I do to correct this behavior. First, I give the person my full attention. I turn my body towards them, make eye contact, and really listen to understand what they're trying to say. What this does is let the person know that I value their thoughts and that I'm taking their questions seriously. Second, as I listen to their question or their point, I will try to find something that I agree with or that I think is useful. You don't have to agree with everything, just something that the participant says. What this does is validates the person's concerns, at least to some extent, and it helps them to save face in front of the group, even if my goal is to limit their participation somewhat. Third, I will clearly tell the person and the group exactly what I liked about the point, and I will focus the attention of the group on the participant, and I will ask them to briefly repeat what they just said. This again serves to reinforce how much their opinion is valued. Fourth, once they are done making their point, I thank them for sharing and I let them know that due to time constraints, I have to move forward with the rest of the presentation. This four-step process will work for most talkative participants as you recognize them, show them that their opinion is valued, focus the group on them, and then make it clear that you need to move on, all while protecting their ego. Stopping side conversations. You probably remember that we use this example in the Freeway Guide to Public Speaking, but it is such a common problem and a serious distraction that I wanted to cover it more completely here. When faced with side conversations during your presentation, there are two types of statements that you can make to get people's attention. There are general statements and specific statements. General statements are directed to the entire group without singling out any one person. This is a great way to generally redirect behavior while protecting the egos of the participants in the room. Here's an example of what a general statement can sound like. Can I get everyone's attention? I'm noticing that we're having some side conversations. As a speaker, it's important when making general statements that you tell everyone what you need them to do. In this general statement, I'm telling my audience that I need to have their attention. The second part is just as important. Without judgment, just state what you're observing. In this case, side conversations. People know when they are talking, and they will usually self-correct after a general statement is made so you can then move forward. Let's move to specific statements. Specific statements may be appropriate when general statements do not work in correcting the behavior. Remember, you are trying to redirect the behavior, not embarrass or scold the offenders. Specific statements are made directly to the individual or individual whose behavior needs to be redirected. An example of a specific statement is, Jared and Steve, I'm noticing that you're talking and I welcome you to share any information that you have with the group. Otherwise, I'd ask you to please refocus and rejoin the group. Specific statements usually involve the specific name of the participant or participants in the group. The first part of the statement gives the person the opportunity or the window to add something in case there really is an issue or problem that the group would benefit from hearing. The second part of the statement makes it clear that if they don't have anything to add, then you really do need them to focus their energies back on the presentation. As always, your overall goal is to redirect the behavior while protecting the ego of your participants. Specific statements feel less comfortable, but are important to use because if you, as a speaker, allow side conversations, you are allowing people to detract from your message. Involving my audience is one of my favorite things to do during presentations because it invariably leads to a more dynamic and enjoyable presentation. You see, as a speaker, I always want my audience to be not just listeners, but active listeners. That means I want my presentation to grab my audience and get them involved. In my experience, there are two types of involvement that create powerful connections: mental involvement and physical involvement. Let's start with mental involvement. Too often, audiences are put into a completely passive position and don't get to interact with the presenter. Simply posing a question and asking your audience to think about it is an easy way to get them mentally involved. They may not actually give you the answer verbally, but by having them think about the question will get them mentally involved in your presentation. Here's an example of getting your audience mentally involved. All right, so what I'm going to ask you all to do is real quickly just think of the name of your favorite actor. Now I want you to think about why this person is such a great actor. What do they do to actually connect with you? Now, I want you to remember this actor's name because we're actually going to come back to them later on in my presentation when we're really going to be talking about how to give convincing performances when you're dealing with your customers. Just through the simple process of asking a question, you have now forced your audience to become active participants in your presentation. This is such an important tip. Remember, get your audience mentally involved. Physical involvement. When we hear physical involvement, most of us default to the tried and true, "Can I have a volunteer?" Asking for volunteers is all right, but it forces a lot of attention onto one or two people rather than the whole group. And remember, we want to get the whole group involved. An easy way to get everyone involved is to ask them to raise their hands. This is such a great tactic because when people raise their hands, they're getting involved in your presentation with very little personal risk. My suggestion is to find a couple of questions that almost everyone in the room can agree with, and then that way you make certain everyone gets involved. Then I suggest that you ask a series of questions. This is fun and keeps people tuned in. Here's an example of what this can sound like. Okay, help me out. By a show of hands, how many of you want to do good work? Okay, looks like just about everybody. All right, how many of you at times feel like your boss keeps you from doing good work? Interesting. All right, one more question. By a show of hands, how many of you would like to figure out how to get your boss to work for you instead of you working for your boss? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So did you hear in this example how I just asked the audience to simply raise their hand to a series of questions that I asked? This creates an environment where the audience feels like they're actively involved. Don't underestimate the power of using physical involvement in your next presentation. Not knowing the answer to audience questions is a common fear for a lot of new speakers, but it is important to remember that not having the answer isn't necessarily a bad thing. Of course, you want to do your best to be prepared, but the fact of the matter is there is no way to know everything, and there will be times when you just won't have the answer to the question. When this happens, I always remind myself that although I am the only speaker in the room, I'm not the only thinker in the room. I have an entire room full of people who may have the answer to the question that I don't know. Don't be afraid to ask your audience's opinion. Getting them involved never takes away from your credibility. In fact, it will always add to the audience's experience by making your presentation more interactive. Here's an example of how I would ask my audience to answer a question that I do not have the answer for. That's an interesting question. Instead of me jumping right into a response, I'm curious to see what a few of you think about that question. By giving the question back to the audience, you can get a couple of opinions which may help to actually clarify your own thinking. And it gets everyone involved. And remember, involvement is a powerful presentation tool.